star of light, filled with royal beauty bright, as for leaves filled from sea, guide us with your perfect light. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who know you by faith, to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote a few lines and words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to mankind. As it has been given to me, it has been revealed in his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and share in the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I became a servant according to the gifts of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boldness, riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? for we observed his star that's rising, and we have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go, search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them was the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have a beautiful sunny day instead of all the rain we've been having. So we can glory in it for several reasons. Today, we begin our service with a song that is traditional for the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Epiphany. We sing the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are, but we don't know that there were three of them. We don't know that they were kings, and the word Orient may just be stretching it a little bit. We call them three because there are three gifts that are mentioned in the Scripture, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you might know their names. Anybody know the names of the three wise men? Balthazar, Melchior, and Caspar. But these names are not found any place in the Bible. They first show up in an Italian church mosaic that was built around the year 600 AD. We call them kings because in Psalm 72, which we read today, there's an Old Testament reference to kings bringing gifts. We say that they're from the Orient because the Bible says that they came from the East. But we don't know how far east. Now, when I was growing up in West Virginia, east meant New York City. And the far east was something when I was a kid that I knew just from John Wayne movies about, you know, the war in the Pacific. However, the men were probably from Persia, modern-day Iran. Not a country most of us even think of until the Iran captive hiked during, which president? Carter administration. And of course, it's been in the news because of the Iran nuclear program lately. We think of them as astrologers because they were following a star, we're told. We call them magi, because the Greek word that Matthew uses in his Greek text is magoi. And magoi means magician or sorcerer. We know that they were wealthy, or at least assumed they were wealthy, because the price of the gifts they brought in that day and time was tremendous. We call them wise men because that's the English translation for that word magoi in the Bible. And instead of arriving to see the baby just a few days after his birth, many scholars say that they could have come to visit the baby up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. And so we see them through many different lenses. I remember a couple of years ago seeing a T-shirt that a woman was wearing, and it said, three wise men? You've got to be kidding. And And sort of the old story that if the three wise men had been three wise women, they would have stopped and asked for directions. They would have arrived on time or early. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They would have brought a casserole and have brought practical gifts, and there would probably still be peace on earth. And so, wise men, we've got to find our place in that one. But we love the wise men in the story just as they are. I mean, we all grew up with being in Christmas plays, and you'd put on your old bathrobe and, you know, put a towel on your head or a hat on your head, and you would go and play one of the wise men in the Christmas pageant, bearing rich gifts and kneeling before the baby Jesus. And the kneeling part is in Scripture. Matthew tells us that when they saw the child, they knelt down and they paid him homage. Three kings kneeling before the king. And what we see in this story in Matthew and in the Gospel of Matthew in general is that these men were not Jews. They were not biblical scholars. They were not clergy. They had not been devout followers of the one true God as the Jews were. They're very unlikely candidates, not the kind you'd expect God to put in this most wonderful of stories, this thing that we replicate year by year and participate in with a joyful heart in every Christian church around the world. But in general, Matthew is a gospel that has unlikely characters in it. Keep in mind that many scholars count Matthew as the most Jewish of the gospels, in part because he emphasizes the fulfillment of Jewish prophecies, and he takes time, in a sense, to explain some Jewish customs. But Matthew also includes Gentiles as main characters in the story. It sort of addresses the question that came up in Jerusalem. Just as the ministry of the church was beginning, there was a controversy over where you had to become a Jew before you could become a Christian. Men would have to be circumcised before they could join the Christian faith. Once that was resolved, it was resolved, as we read in the lesson today from St. Paul, where he becomes the ambassador. He goes to the Gentile population. That is his particular ministry. And so Matthew speaks to Gentiles in a broad way. He starts his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus, the begats. You know, it's almost a full chapter. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And he's just warming up with the begats when Matthew tosses in a name that you wouldn't expect. The most unlikely candidate to be one of Jesus' ancestors. Rahab. Anybody know Rahab? Okay, good. Some nods. Rahab was a prostitute, and she was a Gentile. But when Joshua sent spies into Jericho before the storming of the city, Rahab helped them. It's a story in Joshua 2. God rewarded Rahab with a place in history. In fact, you could say that God actually adopted her into the family. And she's in that list of begats before, at the early part of the Gospel of Matthew. And then in the same verse, he mentions another name, Ruth, who was another Gentile, adopted into a Jewish family for doing the right thing. She has her own book in the Bible, and in the telling of Ruth's story, the Jews read that book every year in their Feast of Weeks. And then come the wise men, Gentiles from the East, not Jews, not devout, not observant. But God gives them a place of honor in this story of the birth of Jesus. All over the world, as I said, during this feast, people dress up in bathrobes and tell this sweet story about the kings coming before the king. And it's a pervasive theme for us. How many of you got a Christmas card this year with the three wise men on it? Okay. Do you get any? We got two or three. It's the most Jewish of the four Gospels, this Gospel of Matthew. Only Jesus and Mary and Joseph have bigger roles in this story. And there are other two. If you go throughout the Gospel of Matthew, there are other Gentiles that are held up as well. Jesus' second great miracle was healing the servant of the Roman centurion, another Gentile. His servant was paralyzed, and the centurion came to Jesus. And he was a man of faith, and he had heard about this prophetic healer. And he said, I know what it's like to direct men and to give an order, and things are done. And you have authority, and I see your authority. And if you would but say, heal my servant, he would be healed. There are other examples. Another Roman soldier at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus die, says, truly, this man was the Son of God. And so I assume everybody here in this room is a Gentile, right? Any people of Jewish heritage? No. So we are all Gentiles. So how do we describe ourselves as people of faith and as Gentiles to this Jewish king who was born to all of us? Someone said in describing herself as a Gentile believer, by blood and origin, I'm an Albanian. My citizenship is Indian. I'm a Catholic nun. As for my calling, I belong to the whole world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to Jesus. Can you guess who that is? Mother Teresa. So what I would suggest this morning, we Gentile believers, how would you describe yourself? If Mother Teresa says, by blood, by origin, I'm Albanian. My citizenship is Indian. I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the whole world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to Jesus. So how would we as believers, Gentile believers, of this Christ child, describe ourselves? Think for a moment. If I said, stand up and tell me about you, tell me about your belief, what would you say? And the point of the gospel, in a sense, in its overall theme, is that Jesus uplifts even unlikely candidates for salvation. Gentiles that highlight their faith and faithfulness. We have Rahab and Ruth. We have the wise men from the east. We have the Roman centurion, the Roman captain. And we also have Jewish characters in the scripture that are very unlikely to be believers as well. We have lepers, we have paralytics, we have tax collectors. And Jesus lifts up all of those unlikely people and he commends their faith and he heals them and he brings them to God. And that's the good news in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, why is that good news for us? The one who cares about Gentiles and lepers and paralytics and tax collectors who died and rose 2,000 years ago cares about us as well. The promise of the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus cares about people that everyone else is going to write off. He cares about people whom others consider to be the scum of the earth and not worthy. He cares about people whom society says don't deserve being cared for or cared about. And that gives us hope in this world, hope for each and every one of us. My custom on Sunday morning is to get up, get a strong cup of coffee, sit down and read the paper. I go through the news section and then I stop at the editorial page. And by that time, I need a little comic relief because it looked like the world is just going to hell in a handbasket. And so what I do is I read the comics, that gives me a little relief, and then I go and I kind of polish my sermon off for a few minutes. What I see is a world that seems such a troubled place and is full of troubled people. A world full of hate and violence and treachery. And what I'm tempted to do sometime is just maybe get a little scotch instead of my coffee and just fall into despair. To believe that evil is winning, and I'm tempted at times to lose hope in the world and in my mission and what we as a church or I can accomplish. It's a troubled place. It's full of troubled people. But then I read the story of the three wise men. Then I go back and look at the gospel for the day that I'm preaching on and realize that the scriptures are not about just good people and about, it's about all the people, the bad ones as well. It gives us hope that in the end, Christ will conquer. We can be sure that if Jesus cares, he's not about to give up on the world, and he's not about to give up on you and me. And therefore, we cannot, I cannot give up on the world. We cannot give up on any person because Christ hasn't given up on that person. So we have in this gospel lesson today a text that also calls us to responsibility. The responsibility to continue to hope in a world that is sometimes dark. To continue caring and continue loving even the unlovely. Those society feels and tells us don't deserve our love. And there's hope for us, for you and me. Don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I realize that in the last day, maybe even the last hour, but certainly in the last week, I have been unlovely. I've done some things that I look back on with sadness and regret. I know exactly what the Apostle Paul says when he says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." We are human, but we are loved. And if we are honest with ourselves, we can imagine Jesus at times being disappointed in us. I don't know about you, but when I was a child growing up, many, many, many years ago, you could still get a spanking. I don't know about you, but my father used a belt on occasion when he was really angry. But I would rather take the belt than the disappointed look in my father's eyes. That cut me to the core. And to think that Jesus might be disappointed in some of the choices I've made, some of the words that I've spoken, some of the things that have crossed through my mind, cuts me to the heart. But this story of the wise men and the theme that is strong in the Gospel of Matthew is a promise that Jesus chooses unlikely candidates and Jesus redeems people who may not behave in ways where they deserve redemption. But it's not about deserving, it's about being a child of God and accepting the love that is offered. What there is hope for you and hope for me. Now, each year when we begin the story of the wise men, we celebrate it every Epiphany. Think a bit about who God chose to be a part of that story, who God called to do his work. It's God's way of saying that God never gives up and that God has a place in his family for the most unlikely people and that everybody counts. It's God's promise that no matter how unlikely a candidate we might be, God has a heart for us and God has a place for us. A place that nobody else can fill and a job that nobody else can do. Now I want you to think for a moment this lovely story we have about the three wise men. Just imagine if the wise men had refused to follow the star. There'd be a big hole in that Christmas story. Be a lot of Christmas cards we wouldn't get. If we say, I am not worthy, if we say, I have no special gifts, if we say, let somebody else do it, or if we say, I don't want to get involved in that, we too will leave a hole in God's story that is being written day by day by day by day in the world in which we live. Instead, what we are called to do is what the wise men did. When God calls us, when God gives us a star in our lives to follow, whether that star is a great or small or calls us to a great or small work, we are called in our hearts to follow that star, to see where it leads us, because it will take us to Christ and what he wants us to do in ministry to the world. If we will do that, just as he did with the wise man, God will use our faithfulness in ways beyond anything we can imagine. Martin Luther said, if we Christians would join the wise men, we must close our eyes to all that glitters in the world and look rather on foolish things, the unlikely, the unlovely, and help the poor, comfort the despised, and aid our number our neighbor in need. So, this epiphany, as we hear this sweet story of the wise men, as this Christmas season comes to an end and the new year begins, let us look in the heavens tonight for our star. Let us look in our heart for Christ's call to ministry for each and every one of us, and how we can be wise men and women as well, and to follow that star to Christ's calling. Amen.
We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and this kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People are on page 12 of the bulletin. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list: Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., John and Jen, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Mary, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Judy, Jack, Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Lisa Bartholomew, Kelly Taylor, Will Marsden, and Linda Pennebaker. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Praying together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your way, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you gave Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to be born for us, who mighty in the power of his Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken to the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, and out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory. And we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray your gracious God to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be made acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Thaddeus and all of your saints, we may enter into the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. For it is by him and with him and in him in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
power and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you, faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May the love, peace, grace, and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be in your lives both this day and always. Amen. In the name of Christ, to find the star you have given us and to follow that star to you. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.